from stpetecatalyst.com.
Returning to Startup Report today are Ellery Linder and Danielle Rushton, formerly of Fruitful, recently rebranded to Wherewithal. Welcome back.
Thank you for having us. It's so good to be back.
Thank you.
It's always, we had Zach from Anchor on recently, and you know, Startup Report's been around long enough now that we're starting to get folks coming back for follow-ups, and it's always, spiriting to see that companies are still going, they're still grinding, they're still growing, and you know, even in a year or two down the road. So, it speaks to hard work. It speaks to our ecosystem here and smart people building businesses. So, congrats on making it this far and being back.
Thank you. So many people have given us congratulations, but we're just at the starting line. So We're glad we made it here.
So I guess the topic du jour is the rebrand, and I think so we don't have to rewalk old territory. Basically, you found out when you went to put some protection around Fruitful that it was already engaged, and made a few efforts to try to see if you could find a way to make it work. That didn't happen, and so you had to choose something different. Thus, Wherewithal came out the other end of that process. Within that, there was some sort of, a lot of reflection, a lot of thinking, and a lot of, kind of going back to the basics mentally, emotionally, or whatever. Can you talk a little bit about that part of the process?
It was exhausting.
Identity crisis.
Danielle nailed it. We had an identity crisis for a little bit. And during that time, it was uncomfortable. Like, I guess this whole process is really uncomfortable. So like, we're kind of used to that, like being kind of always living in some sort of a gray area. But, when we knew we had to rebrand, and then by the time we came up with a new name, we were talking like, it was several months in between where we were like, question mark. And then we would like get on a name that we would start to fall in love with. And then we do like a quick preliminary search and then realize, we couldn't go forward with that. And so I think it was a combination of us being super careful that we didn't have like a rinse and repeat of what happened with Fruitful with our new name. But it was hard. I mean, it's really hard when you fall in love with something and then you have to just kiss it goodbye.
I know. And I think it challenged us to really look deeper into what we're doing with this bra company. Fruitful, the perspective and point of view of Fruitful was meant to be a more inviting tone for a bra company. It's really kind of those two ideals, either sexy and a little bit objectified, or a little bit comfort and boring, like you have to choose between one or the other. And so Fruitful was that fun, flirty, flirty
playful.
For me. Yeah, like playful and something that you could get excited about for your bra, just for your own being. And so that was where the idea for Fruitful really came from. But then as we looked deeper, it was revealed to us, I think, in the challenge and in all the messiness of having these trademark challenges that like, what are we really doing this for? And it's really, so Wherewithal by definition is the tools or resources necessary to do whatever it is you're trying to do. And we truly believe that this bra is just a tool. You're just wearing it to go about your day, to do whatever it is you do in your day, and to feel comfortable and confident. So in the midst of what seemed like a huge identity crisis, really came out the other end stronger, I think, because of it.
That's interesting. There's potentially a couple of parallels to that process and what came out the other end as well. Obviously it's a grind. There's a certain, and I noticed even with the couple different photo shoots you've done, you went from very colorful ones to a bit more muted ones. And you kind of echoed that in how you saw the brand evolve as well. And perhaps that echoes even then, the process of just realizing that, you know, that middle get it done, sort of middle road there of utility is an interesting fit for people who have very full lives, you know.
Well, Joe, can I jump in? And I wanted to clarify really quickly. So we actually had our very first ever photo shoot just a few weeks ago. So before that, anything that was all of the branding around Fruitful was very colorful. It was meant to invoke kind of that playfulness. And then as Danielle was kind of talking about, like when we started going through this process and we really started talking to more women and kind of drilling down and like, what is it that we want to invoke? What do we want people to feel? And I think through that, we discovered that it was a multifaceted rebrand. There were elements of our branding that definitely we still very much loved with Fruitful. So maybe one day, maybe there's an opportunity there one day to bring it back. But you know, I think it was kind of an opportunity for us to like really shed our skin, like step out of ourselves and kind of think about like top to bottom, what does that rebrand look like? It wasn't just about changing the name. It was, I think, a bigger opportunity for us to really understand like what we wanted this company to be. And so it was challenging for a really long time because we did not have branded imagery, like literally until just a few weeks ago. So we have had to be a little bit creative in how we've like shared things or not shared things because of it.
Ellery was one of our models prior to just now. We had like an out with the old image and that was actually Ellery. So
yeah, like we were literally like iPhoning pictures and we have an incredible designer who we worked with who she's just like a wizard. She is so amazing. And so she was able to work some Photoshop magic here and there. So yeah, I mean, a lot of it was like scrappiness. I remember actually taking that picture that out with the old and we had seen a picture that was sort of similar and the model, the way her hands were positioned, it was interesting. She made it look so easy, like, oh, I'm like effortlessly putting on my bra. Well, like anybody who's put a bra on before, any woman, that whole like reach around, try to hook your closures in the back kind of thing. Like it's a song and dance. Like actually, I remember putting on my bra in front of Danielle one time and she was like, wait, is that how you put your bra on? Sidebar, I just learned how to actually like tie a bow like the regular way like just a few weeks ago. So I have this like really weird hacky way of putting on my bra that's super embarrassing. And it is because it's a super awkward motion. And so there was this great image of this model and she's putting this bra on and we were trying to kind of mirror that. And so I had my husband take these pictures on my iPhone. And I remember the first time I went to go and do it, he's like, "Why?" He's like, "Why does your back look like that?" And we cry. I mean, we were crying, we were laughing, and I was like, "All right, this is like low budget. We got to figure it out." And then both of us realized the model was holding her bra and holding her hands a totally different way. So it was hilarious. The outtakes were just—they're to die for. They're so funny. But it is—I mean, it was like there was a lot of that along the way, and so to go into that first photo shoot, we did a photo shoot, video shoot. We shot over the course of 2 days. We were on set for like a total of 15 hours. It was crazy, super intense, but it was so fun. It was so surreal to be surrounded on set by so many women who were walking around in our bra and our underwear and everyone was just like laughing and dancing and having a great time. It was a lot of fun, but we had to be pretty scrappy up until just about a few weeks ago with images.
So was the problem or the struggle, do you feel like it was deciding what you were or deciding what you weren't in that taking away things was hard to take away? Do you feel like you need to come with a very specific value proposition, a specific perspective, a specific personality, which probably seems, you know, counterintuitive to the multifaceted life of women. So was the problem honing down or discovering what you were?
I think the majority of the problem is that every word is trademarked already. Okay. so it's so difficult to find. Yeah. Like, but I think what is beautiful about this process and about the entrepreneurship process in general is that it truly is about what you discover along the way. And I think what we found is that this bra is so much more than just a different way to look at buying your bra. It's more than just a fun and flirty, fruitful type of element. It's actually a tool that women use every day to wear or to not wear something because of the support that it provides them. And so I truly believe in, you know, a lot of these great startup stories, these things happen along the way. And I just think this is one of those things where it forced us to look inward, and we had a bunch of great, still fun, quippy names that were along the same lines as Fruitful, but Wherewithal, it's the play on Wear It With All Things, but we're spelling it the appropriate way because we truly want the bra to be the least important thing about our company, just like it's the least important thing about anyone who's wearing it. So it's more telling that soft sell. It's more, we want to talk about the women and what they wear the bra to do. And then it's just, oh, by the way, this is the bra that I choose to do it in when I do choose to wear a bra.
I was just going to add to that. You said something really interesting and something we've talked about a lot, about it's this multifaceted woman. And it's so true, right? There's not one way that you should be, or we want you to feel like you have to be. I mean, it is about being yourself and whatever that means in the moment. And women are incredibly multifaceted. I remember, on a personal note, I remember when I was getting married and I was so overwhelmed by this paradox of choice. And everyone kept telling me, like, you just have to decide what kind of bride you want to be. And I was like, but why? I was like, if I'm only supposed to get married once, I want to be all the brides. I was like, I want to be every version of every bride I've ever seen. And I remember feeling so, it was so disheartening. And I was like, why do I have to decide a color scheme? Why am I like being pigeonholed into these different areas? And I think, you know, we've felt that on a personal level. We've talked to so many women who felt that way too. And it's like, we are fast moving creatures. It's like, you know, we have a laundry list of things to do in our day, and we want to be a garment that can take you from that very first moment in the morning when you're at home with your family, or maybe you're getting your kids dressed, or hey, you just like crushed it on a workout. And now you've got a big day at work, all the way through to, you know, whatever it is you have to do in the evening. It could be meeting up with friends for happy hour. It could be just coming home and wanting to kick back and watch Netflix. So, I mean, I think Danielle kind of pointed this out as well, where it's very much about a celebration of individuality, and that changes from day to day. It can change from, you know, hour to hour. It definitely changes. So we wanted a bra that reflected that, and that gave women really the power to really personalize how they wanted something to fit and feel, that traditionally speaking, we don't really have a lot of control over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it seems, you know, it seems like that aspiration is achieved by almost being forgotten, because if you're providing the kind of, you know, support and the kind of experience that you're talking about, then really it is, the bra disappears, and in that it's not a distraction, and the woman, to, you know, and who she is and what she's doing takes the stage. And so I think that's, you know, that's a nice evolution from the colors and the, you know, and the fruit and the fun, where, you know, the bra itself is kind of demanding a voice in the personality versus just being a utility, which I think is what you're saying, if I hit that right.
An elevated essential.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
But it is. Sorry, Dee, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to kind of go off of that, where it's not, you know, as I mentioned earlier, it's either very this or that. It's very sexy or it's very comfort. And I think what's really cool and what is kind of being revealed again is just the design of our bra with this dual back band. It's truly like a manifestation of this duality of, and like, I am sexy and I am comfortable. I am confident and sometimes I'm nervous right before a meeting. It's that we can be, and we are, so many different things and so multifaceted, as Ellery was saying. And since this bra allows that freedom of duality, that freedom to adjust it however feels best for you right now, and then however it feels best in a minute or an hour from now. It's really just giving women the freedom to do and to change and to evolve however they see fit.
Makes a lot of sense. So let's talk a little bit about wherewithal the company. Obviously, as you're going through this, you're spending money on legal. You're not producing things because you're not producing packaging because you're not sure what the brand's going to be. So I'm guessing there was a kind of a almost across the board reset where you kept a few threads alive, but really, had to stop. Obviously, supply chain issues with the pandemic and all that good stuff too. So, how are you coming back at the investors you've talked to before, the people in the industry you've talked to before? Where do you sort of have the company with regard to that?
We actually announced our rebrand. Right around this time, maybe February of 2020. And we spent a lot of time trying to think through as a company, like, what do we want to say? How can we control that? And so what we ended up doing is we wrote this article. Really, it was a blog post, and we published it on Medium, and we really allowed it to be kind of like a bon voyage, like a, we loved you so much. Now we're sending you off into the unknown, goodbye, if you will, to our branding Fruitful. And in that moment, we also announced Wherewithal and what that meant to us. And a little bit, we shared a little bit about our journey in getting to that point. So it's an interesting, like in some ways it was never easier to rebrand because at that point in time, we hadn't put our name on packaging. We hadn't put our name like actually on our product. So with a blessing in many ways. Like it was also like, if we had to do that, the process just would have been much longer and a little bit more arduous, I think. So it was a great moment in time for us to be able to do that. But, you know, with it, there was definitely like a learning curve of some people being like, wait, I thought you guys weren't you like the Fruits and weren't you guys Fruitful? And so there was some of that for sure where we were like, oh, we were this and hello, now we're this. But eventually it was great. We got to a point where everyone, I think, quickly understood what we were doing. And frankly, we've tried to be pretty open and transparent about, where we were and knowing that we had to rebrand. So in some ways that's kind of just our personalities. And in other ways we were like, well, hopefully that makes the transition a little easier. So, but yeah, I mean, we had to totally get, new email addresses, new business cards. I mean, everything. We had to redo our website. We're getting ready to roll out an updated website along with our upcoming launch. So Dan, I don't know if there's anything else you want to add to that, but I think it was fairly seamless.
Yeah, because we honestly, it was a year ago and we hadn't really done much. So right before the pandemic, we actually announced at Synapse of 2020 our rebrand. And so then the pandemic hit in March, a month later. We had just closed a friends and family round of funding. We had just hired a consultant at the time, a manufacturing and product development consultant, who then introduced us to a technical designer, and then the world shut down. So it was like this moment of we definitely ran into some issues with manufacturing because bra cup molds use the same machines that N95 masks are made out of. So that was an interesting learning during this pandemic. But I think it gave us a little bit of pause because in startup world, people are always asking, when are you going to launch? It's been 2 years. It's been a year and a month. Like, where are you at? Why haven't you launched yet? And I think something to keep in mind is good things do truly take time. And so we had this kind of like stifled moment where we could really collect our thoughts. We could rebrand intentionally. We could develop this product how we finally wanted it and always intended it to be developed. And that money really lasted. We stretched it as far as we could and it lasted us, you know, to the point of getting this product in the place that it needed to be. And so everything happened really as it should have. And it was with the pandemic, with everything that went on. When I think back to the timing, it really is serendipitous and kind of not serendipitous for the pandemic by any means, but just looking at how everything kind of lined up is actually crazy. And this is the first time I'm really thinking about how we announced our rebrand right before the pandemic happened. And then we kind of like stepped into this new persona. So talking about Fruitful Now, it seems so far gone and so long away. But it allowed us to step into this new wherewithal brand identity and really embody what we set out to do.
And actually, just to add to that, in our Medium blog post, I think we said something along the lines of, you know, and that's it. Like, that's our rebrand. That's why we did it. Peace out. Like, we're going to go and we're going to build these bras and we'll come back and talk to you when we have product. And like, little did we know that the world quite literally was about to slow down in a way that hasn't, you know, none of us ever could have imagined. And so I'm so thankful that we had added that little nugget in there. And it was true. I mean, it was almost like Danielle and I were giving ourselves the space when we made that announcement to then not be beholden to like having to talk on social when we didn't have a product to share, having to build this, and this when it just didn't really make sense. And what we needed to focus on building was our supply chain and our product. And so it really was, you know, just like exactly what you said, Dan, it's like in startup world, it's fail fast, you know, move as quickly as you possibly can, figure it out along the way. And there are absolutely elements of that that are true and that are necessary. But this was such a unique opportunity to, like Danielle said, build things thoughtfully and be more in control of our own timelines. And, you know, certainly not without its challenges. Like, we had to build a supply chain with an entirely remote team. That was new for everybody who we were working with. I mean, some of our team members have been in the industry for over 20 years, and it was something that we all had to kind of jump in and hold hands on together, but we were able to do it and get through it. And I think now we'll be able to launch in an even more thoughtful way because of it.
That's great. And there were some, because I think the last time we talked, you had just returned from South America and you were, you had made some connections with some of the factory owners or whatnot there. And you were kind of close to, I think you talked about fall, maybe 19, getting the first products out or whatever.
I wish.
Luckily it's a timeless industry. So there's no technology that's going to jump up and jump in front of you. And it's got to feel great now that you have a name that you know is safe, that you can build a foundation around. That's got to be a huge relief. So how does that then position you, understanding that we're at this point? What does the next year look like for Wherewithal?
Yeah. What does the next year look like? We have, thanks to Danielle and our product team, an incredibly exciting product roadmap. So we have a launch coming up next week, literally on Wednesday, April 21st. It is a limited inventory product release. So it is the first time we're ever sharing our product with the world. And when we say it's limited release, like we really, really cannot stress that enough. It is not just like we're not just saying that for marketing purposes. Like, it's very, very limited, but it was an opportunity for our teams to test all of the systems that we've put in place. With that, we also have a smaller set of sizes that we're going to market with. It was intentional for a number of reasons, but ultimately we have more sizes, more colors, more styles, all launching in the back half of this year. So this is really a test. It's an opportunity for us to get our product out there, to really see and understand what women are saying about our product, for women to finally actually really engage with Wherewithal as a brand. We've done little things along the way, but this is absolutely, you know, the biggest moment in time for us. Really the biggest opportunity we've had to really start these conversations as a brand. And so we want to know what women are saying about the product. We want to know what, you know, color she wants to see next, what sizes she wants to see next. You know, what does she love about the product? What does she want to see change? Now we have definitely a good idea of what that roadmap looks like, but I think in engaging with our customers, our actual customers, we will really get a better understanding and a better read of what that response looks like and what that feedback is. And it helps us develop and grow as well, right? Like, I think customers today are really, really smart, and they just want to feel like they, I guess maybe I'm speaking as a customer myself, like I want to feel like my voice is heard. I want to feel like my opinion matters. And so we felt like rather than waiting until we had like every single color we wanted to offer, every single style we wanted to offer, every single size, size is really, really, really important to us. And so I think it's a tough decision. And, you know, sometimes we're like, all right, well, we're going to test it and see, but we know that I think just by being able to get out into the market will be so incredibly meaningful. And it just opens up that gateway to conversations and just allows us to better understand who our customer really is and what she wants from us. Because at the end of the day, that's what we want to build. We want to build products that women are crazy about, that they love, that they can't get enough of, and they want to see more of.
Yeah. And I think in our first podcast with you, Joe, we mentioned how, you know, this really started because we wrote in a Facebook group and the response was overwhelming of women saying, you know, yeah, I can't wear certain things because a strapless bra doesn't fit me, or I wish I knew my bra size. That was that pivotal moment where it was no longer about us. It was for, you know, the larger collective who has also felt this way about bras their entire life. So the reason why we went all in on this and left our full-time jobs is because we talked to customers prior to even having that product. And so since we are launching this limited release product drop with a much smaller quantity of inventory than we will any other time. We're launching it in one color. It's a bra and matching underwear set. We want to be able to release this in tandem and talk to them as we're releasing it. It's an entirely new bra design. It's an entirely new sizing system. I've been like creating this sizing algorithm. We're building out this quiz. How you know how to find your size set is what our sizes are called. So it's in this smaller, kind of more focused product drop, we can see, does this make sense? Is this confusing to everyone else? Does it make sense to us? Cause we've been, you know, banging our heads against it for 3 years, or like, how do we tell this to women and explain it at a larger scale? Because we're all confused by bras as it is. 80% of women are wearing the wrong bra size. There's been issues with this industry. And so as we try and simplify it, it comes with a learning curve. And we know that, and we're anticipating that. And we want to take the time to be able to educate based on these results. Because when we launch next Wednesday, April 21st, we won't be launching again until the fall. So it is, you know, we want people to come get their size, get their size set. And then from there, we'll learn and we'll figure out how we can do a better job or what we need to improve on, whether it's our website, whether it's our marketing, whether it's our messaging for that fall launch when we have more colors coming in.
And it's exciting. It's like the first time that, you know, there's been a lot of research. There's been a lot of market data. I mean, there's been so much that our team has put into it to get to this place. And then you go to market and it can all change. So it's like, we felt this was a great moment in time for us to step out and say like, okay, here we are. This is what we're doing. To Danielle's point, like there's some re-education. It's almost like we want to say, forget everything you think you know about bras and like, come on this journey with us. Like bras are confusing. We were confused by bras and we've spent years trying to kind of undo all of those bad habits and all of that, you know, confusion. And so how do we simplify our life? How do we make it easier? And that's ultimately what we want to do. And hopefully, you know, learn also like the things that she does love. What's resonating with her? What does she like? What does she want to see more of? And the best way to test is to just go to market. So that's what we're excited about and we're ready to do. And we know we're going to learn a lot along the way. And we just encourage our customers to share openly with us. And there'll be a lot of conversations that'll happen through social, You know, we will read every single product review. You know, we really want it to feel like a conversation and like, you know, the people behind the brand, and that we're not just some faceless brand trying to sell you yet another terrible strapless bra. Like, everything we're doing is different. We've heard you, we hear you still. And I think it's always keeping that same thread of, this is an industry that is supposed to be intimate, but really just doesn't feel that way. And so we're like, how do we create an industry that instead feels personal? And part of that is by opening up that door of communication so that we can say like, hey, we're here, we feel you too. And, you know, and I think just making sure that we always kind of keep that communication line open. It's part of the reason why we want it to be direct to consumer.
Mm-hmm. The products that exist already exist. And so even with our underwear style, we asked, what are companies still not getting right? And we developed a specific underwear pattern based on that feedback. We want to be the solution for anything that we're developing. And a lot of our molds are custom molds, and we're not just using what exists. So it takes a little bit longer. But I think something that Dan, our investor, told me in a meeting last Friday, he's like, aim small, miss small. And that's what we're doing with this beta launch. We want to aim small, we want to miss small, then we want to aim a little bit bigger, maybe miss a little bit smaller, but going steps and building, just like, you know, we're launching with this strapless bra, first and foremost, one bra style, one underwear style, because we want to build upon that once we have that feedback, rather than, as Ellery mentioned, you know, launching with a whole assortment of bras and underwear and colors and sizes when we're not even sure if people understand our sizing system. Like, we want to go one step at a time and build this with a community, because community is so important to us. And like Ellery said, talking to our customer, making sure we're creating things that they even want. We don't want to be wasteful. You know, fashion is the number two pollutant in any industry in the world. And so we're trying to be very thoughtful, very intentional with everything that we are designing and developing, making sure, you know, we're doing our part as a hopefully one day much larger company, but we're starting small to make sure everything goes to where it should and is useful and intentional and meaningful instead of wasteful, for sure.
Yeah. Something we talk about internally is like, how are we de-risking ourselves at every stage of our business? And that means many things. Like, de-risking it doesn't just mean, you know, from a working capital standpoint, it's also like a time value and, you know, what is that customer value? And so there's a lot of things that we try to weigh and we'll continue weighing down, you know, as we kind of go down this path. But it's all about like the de-risking and how can we, to Danielle's point, I love that, aim small, miss small, and then hopefully aim a little bit bigger next time, miss a little bit smaller. It's perfect. It's a perfect mantra.
You mentioned a couple of things in there that made me remember our last conversation. You know, in this industry, and really in companies like this, DTC companies, the founders' brands can play a lot into the adoption of the product. And here, when you have a bit of a learning curve, an educational ask to the sizing, being attached to a movement, a founder, an ideal, can help people be more willing to get across that learning hurdle. And you mentioned, I think, in your Medium post too, getting to meet Sarah Blakely, and obviously her role within Spanx is not that people are buying it because of her, but she certainly has been a big point of gravity to, you know, for that community, that, you know, that people can go around and feel a certain way around. So, you know, as you've gone through the rebrand, had a couple of years under your belt, have you had any sort of evolution in your thinking of how you want to present yourselves in connecting? And, you know, how big, you know, how specifically that you want to connect with folks as it relates to your brand?
I think as much as they want to connect with us, for both Ellery and I, but I'll speak, you know, for myself, this was an industry and a garment that I had been wearing since fourth grade, and it still confused the hell out of me. And it's this industry that I felt powerless against. I would go and get measured and somebody would tell me I was one size and another company would tell me I was another size. And eventually you just stop trying and you just take whatever it is. You go, you roll with the punches and you let it kind of determine what you are or are not able to wear is a lot of what I found. And so what we want to do is just tell our stories. We've also trademarked the word breastimony, but we want to tell women's breastimony and what their story is. Everybody remembers their first bra. Like, what was that experience like? What has your relationship been like with development and with that side of your life and your journey? Because we all have that story. And whether you want to free the nipple or whether you need that support, like, we are all for it. But if you need a bra, we want to make sure we're building that bra that you do turn to and you can rely on, and it will actually support you and whatever you're doing throughout the day. So for me personally, we want to be as connected to our customer as they care about, but we definitely, you know, it's less about me as the founder, and more about elevating the customer and who they are and what their story is, because we do want this to be a community of individuals who allow themselves to be valid in whatever feels good to them. And so telling their stories about why they left their job to be a chef or why they're doing what they're doing and what they're pursuing. It's this really this like reservoir of storytelling that we hope to embody with our brand beyond the bra itself.
It's like a collective celebration of individuality, which yes. I know it's like two seemingly opposing forces, but it's so true. It's something Danielle and I have talked about a lot as we've gotten to know each other throughout this journey as well, is that I get gotten to know each other like really family. okay, we were coworkers first and foremost, and we had never like ever hung outside of work, and we had certainly never talked about our bras. And so there was immediately, though, when Danielle even first told me about this idea, there was this unspoken shared connection of like, you have boobs and I have boobs, and so we both, like, no matter the size, no matter the likes or dislikes, and all of the stuff in between, like, it was an instant connection that we had. And, you know, we've shared a lot about like the things that we've liked or not liked about ourselves and our bras and our boobs along the way. But, you know, it's so interesting that we've both had different experiences, and yet there's so many commonalities. And so I think that that's something, it's, we just never really talk about our bras as women, unless it's like, oh, my bra is horrible. It's like 99% of the conversations that happen, if the conversation even happens. And I think what struck me as really interesting when we first started talking about this and Danielle first started sharing her ideas for the product design was that, you know, in all my life, I have two sisters. I was like, why have we I've never had a conversation where I sat down and somebody was like, oh my gosh, I have the best bra. You have to try it. And I think it's because it is such a personal garment. It's just so personal, and it's supposed to be intimate, but it's not. And then intimate was sort of, I think, snatched away in many ways, where intimate became sexualized. And so then it became something that just really didn't feel like it was for ourselves, and it felt like it was for everybody else. And I think part of it, this is just my very long-winded way of agreeing with Danielle, but also just, you know, it's a communal celebration of like who we want to be as individuals. And this idea that like, we want to give you this freedom to feel like you can change and like you can adapt and like you can grow along the way, because that's what we do as human beings. And if we can provide you with a bra that allows that flexibility and that adjustability based on your personal preference in that moment, that's really, really cool. That's really powerful. And then we can take those feelings, and Joe, you kind of mentioned it. It's like, creating a garment that's so great that you forget about it. It's like a good thing and also a bad thing as a company, but it's exactly what we're trying to achieve. Because at the end of the day, like, no one gives a shit about our bra. Like, as a customer, like, I want to forget about my bra. I truly want to feel like I forgot that I was wearing it. And if that's what we can achieve, and if we can give women a bra that makes them feel excited and, frankly, just like empowered, like, if your bra's feeling a little tight and you can slide that back band and adjust it out, or if you need a little extra snatch, like, just being able to be like, we got you. It's kind of like that wink and a nod of like, I got you, girl. That's what we want to do.
It's almost like you want them to anticipate forget about it, and then celebrate that they forgot about it. That's it. Mm-hmm.
It's like feeling nothing. and LeBron talks about like feeling nothing when he won like his championships. He's like, I wish I could bottle up nothing, I'll tell you that. So it's like that idea of feeling nothing, because you're immersed in everything else. And so if they're wearing a different bra, maybe they feel it and they don't want to feel it.
I'm gonna try to make sure we nip this budding potential trademark or a copyright addiction. You know, now that what you've been through, I think every time you hear a good word, you're going to want to. I kind of went through that with domain names. I think I had 400 or 500 at one point, you know, and then so now you have Breastimony. And every time you guys say a word, you're going to be on the protected. Cool. Well, it's, you know, it's again, you know, props for keeping going. You know your idea is good. You know that it's needed. It's not easy getting there. It never is. It's a swamp for a million different reasons, or you know, with a million different predators in it. But keep moving forward, and you know, you'll get there. And I think that you know, you have you've got a path laid in front of you with what you know, another local and Sarah had, and I look forward to you know, seeing you in a year or two again, maybe going public or who knows what by that point. But thank you for stopping back in and updating us on everything that's going on.
Thank you. And thank you for just having this. I think it's great to hear your perspective. You talk to so many startups and you're part of the reason this, you know, Tampa ecosystem has any clout, because people like you are talking about it. So thank you for having us. And it's always so fun talking with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. It really is. It's a rare opportunity to actually have a moment to reflect right before we go out and we do the damn thing. So it's cool. Hopefully we'll look back on this, you know, even in a few months, and we'll be like, oh wow, that was like that moment right before. So we appreciate it, and thank you for keeping up with us on our roller coaster ride of a journey.
From stpcatalyst.com.